And next up is Mark Hyland. Welcome.
Thank you. Senator Brenner, Representative Tucker, members of the committee. My name is Mark Hyland. I'm the board chair for Defend Our Health. I'm also a retired director for the Bureau of Remediation and Waste Management, DEP, and as such have a lot of experience both in solid waste and toxics and things like that. I'll forego the part of the threat, because I think you've all heard that pretty well, but talk a little bit about the problem. And some have suggested that landfilling municipal and industrial sludge produced by our wastewater treatment plants will solve this problem. Unfortunately, landfills are not a closed loop system. Landfill leachate created by rainwater percolating through landfill waste and contaminated rainwater, the leachate, gets to the bottom of the landfill with contaminants, including PFAS, and needs to be treated. Decades of using PFAS in a variety of products, including cookware, clothing, furniture, food packaging, means that the trash in our landfills is loaded with PFAS and some ends up in the leachate. Multiple studies, and you've heard about a number of them now, both nationally and internationally, have thoroughly documented that there are high levels of PFAS in landfill leachate. And so when they're sent to a typical wastewater treatment facility, the PFAS and leachate is not removed. It doesn't react with the system's aeration and anaerobic digestion types of systems that are found in wastewater treatment plants. And as you can imagine, because it's one of those forever chemicals, it doesn't react very well in those situations. So it ends up that most of the contaminants that the PFAS travels through the wastewater treatment plant unchanged. Some ends up in the sludge, but much of it is discharged in the effluent, and it presents a threat to our environment. Most landfill leachate contaminants are persistent, or the PFAS contaminants are persistent, and they're being discharged currently into the Penobscot River. More advanced treatment is necessary to remove PFAS from leachate. Unfortunately, there are options to do this, either by pre-treating it on site at the landfill before sending it to a wastewater treatment plant, or sending it to a wastewater treatment facility with more advanced capabilities. You've heard today, I know, about the federal funds that have been awarded to develop specialized treatment for PFAS at the Anson Madison facility that could potentially meet this need. We believe that we must ensure that our state-owned landfill follows best practices for disposing of its leachate. And that means ensuring that it's appropriately treated for PFAS, either on-site or a facility capable of removing the PFAS from the leachate. Additionally, the status quo raises important environmental justice concerns. We've heard about some of those today, that the leachate from the Juniper Ridge landfill is being discharged to the Penobscot River just downstream of the Penobscot Nation. So, and that's a concern to the Penobscot Nation, the fish in particular, because although there are fish advisories on the river, it's still something from a sustainability standpoint that people use fish from the river. So I worked for DEP for 29 years, and I did a lot of the testing. Was involved in the testing for dioxin from the paper mills in the Penobscot River in the 1990s, PCB contamination from Eastern Fine Paper and Brewer, the coal tar contamination at the Bangor waterfront, and the mercury releases at the Holterkem facility. All of those things have been dumped into the Penobscot River, and the Penobscot River has been a dumping ground long enough for toxic chemicals. The state needs to take the lead, and because the state owns this landfill, we should be the ones that are showing leadership for eliminating PFAS from state-owned facilities. We really can't landfill our way out of this problem, and we have to reduce the concentrations of these chemicals in the environment to protect people's health. It's much cheaper to address the problem before we discharge it rather than after we discharge it, at the large cost of cleaning up the Penobscot River from the Holterkem facility point out. And the state landfills need to lead that effort. Thank you for your time, and urge you to vote ought to pass on LD 1875. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Representative Boyle has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hyland. We heard testimony from the department. This may be awkward in your former position, but that's okay. I'm going to put you on the spot. I think that the department's opposition essentially seemed to boil down to it's going to cost quite a bit of money. Resources is the word used, but I think it's really money. number one. Number two, the EPA, the federal's already going to do something about it over a period of time, and they want to be able to match that. And number three, because EPA is going to do something anyway, let's the department work with them. Can you tell me, in your words, with your experience, why I should listen to the opponents of this bill rather than the proponents?
Surely. And Brian Kavanaugh is a good friend of mine. So we've been on opposite sides of issues like this before, so it's not the first time.
That's why I acknowledge the awkwardness.
Yeah, it's a little awkward. But you know, the realistic part is that that EPA, and I worked in the Superfund program for many years, EPA is kind of a stop-and-go operation. I mean, sometimes they're right on an issue, and then sometimes there's a big lull into when they take action. And it's not unusual for the state to, the states are kind of the proving grounds for many ways of regulating things. I mean, EPA isn't the end-all and be-all for these things. Many times we're the proving ground, we show the way. For EPA to take care of these situations. And certainly this is one of those examples where I think that we can be, we can really help EPA and come up with good standards for this. And that's by taking action first.
Any other questions from the committee?
I did hear a question at one point about disposal of the filtration material. Representative Bloom asked about that. The mm-hmm. only thing I can say to that is we put water systems on for all sorts of different contaminants, and PFAS is one of those things. Activated carbon is the normal thing that gets used. It does get disposed in landfills. Many times it gets incinerated because activated carbon is a decent fuel. But that's kind of the two methods that are used for disposing of material. Many times you can reactivate carbon and use it again, but I'm not sure how well that works when you have PFAS as one of the contaminants.
I have a question for you relative to the amendment that was proposed at the beginning of the hearing. Yeah. Do you believe that changing the language so that the target is at the drinking water standards would relieve the department from as much of a financial burden?
It does relieve the department of that burden. They don't have to do the rulemaking at that point. Mm-hmm. So that's a big help. And I think Mr. Kavanaugh admitted that as well. Mm-hmm. The difficulty, as he points out, is that Anson Madison will be designing a treatment system without being absolutely sure of what the final requirements will be. And that's why he has difficulty with this. They would like to know before they build it, because it could make it more expensive or less expensive depending on how they do it. But I think there was a good point made earlier too by the person from the Conservation Law Foundation, and that is that these treatment systems that treat contaminants, it's a chain. There are a lot of individual processes that happen during these things. And so adding something to treat PFAS towards the end of the process, because that's where it usually would have to be put, will make it less expensive to worry about that later.
Any other questions? All right. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.